So we're going to move on to the Titans now. And I'm going to start this off with the Defender Titan, the least used subclass for PvP in the game. Defenders, you generally want to run Discipline Strength, although there is an argument that can be made for Intellect Strength. Personally, I run Discipline Strength. I do think it has a very underrated grenade in the Suppression Grenade. So on your Defender Titan, you're going to want to have, for your bubble, Armor of Light. Again, there are arguments that can be made for blessings and weapons. However, I feel like they're either gimmicky in the case of weapons, or altogether too weak in the case of blessings. If you have a blessing bubble and your Titan is inside of that bubble, a Blade Dancer can come in and pretty much one-shot you. That's not much help. If you have armor on that bubble, that same Blade Dancer can come in and probably get shotgun meleeed back to where he came from. For the grenades, you have the choice between Spike Grenade, Suppression Grenade, and Magnetic Grenade. Magnetic Grenade is the weakest of the sticky grenades. It has two explosions. The first explosion will not kill a high armor guardian on its own. If they keep moving, the second explosion will be left behind. Both explosions occur in the exact same place as the first. So if a player is moving quickly enough, they can actually avoid that second explosion from the Magnetic Grenade, making it entirely useless. Spike grenades are actually pretty nice when you use them on a Night Stalker. Without the wombo combo smoke to keep people from moving as quickly as they would like to, spike grenades are fairly useless. So my vote goes to the suppressor grenade. Twofold capacity, it can do quite a large amount of damage. I believe 186 with someone standing directly on top of it. Or anywhere from 1 to 185 for the radius outside of that. Really, the most useful thing about the suppression grenade isn't the damage, it's the fact that in a huge area, people lose access to every single one of their abilities, including their jump abilities. And after being on the receiving end of suppression grenade, I can tell you just how much you don't realize you rely on those abilities. It absolutely neuters your ability to play the game and makes you essentially a sitting duck. For your Force Barrier melee, I recommend the Recharging Melee ability over the War Machine ability, which is probably the second place. It allows you to reload and ready weapons blindingly fast, faster than Quick Draw. And Gift of Light, which is a PvE-oriented choice.
I will just say real quick, I mean, Gift of Light is not only a PvE-oriented choice, it is the PvE-oriented choice. It is so good in so many different game modes. None of those game modes are the Crucible. I will say that, though.
That is exactly true, because you are very, very rarely going to get a second melee kill while your Force Barrier is active. That's the only way it's useful. So I recommend the Recharging Force Barrier in the passive column between your armor or recovery agility columns. There is a choice that allows your Force Barrier to recharge. It allows your Force Barrier to last longer with more overall armor points. This is hands down my recommendation over both the other choices. If you have tier 5 strength with the no backup plans, Recharging Force Barrier, and I believe it is Relentless.
Yep.
This will allow you to have a Force Barrier that remains active all the way until your melee recharges itself. That is a 24-second Force Barrier. Your melee recharge at tier 5 strength is 25 seconds. So you can go entire matches with only 1 second gaps between Force Barrier. Force Barrier, by the way, with no backup plans and all the yada yada perks selected, is strong enough to tank a 1,000-yard Sair headshot and leave you alive. It is incredibly useful.
Yeah, that's kind of another interesting perk column. There are a number of columns, I think, on some of the original classes where there are really only two really good choices for most situations, and it's almost always one good PvE choice, like Gift of Void in that column, giving you those extra orbs, which is almost always the PvE choice that you want, and Relentless in that same column, which is probably almost always the PvP choice that you want.
Yeah, and just a quick note, my strategy as a sniper using the 1,000-yard stare archetype is when I see someone with one of those shields is to avoid them because I know for a fact just how much damage they can tank, and it is not fun starting off a battle at that type of a disadvantage, basically. Just info from a sniper.
And for the final column, there is a perk that allows your bubble to recharge more quickly. This is supremely powerful. This essentially grants you 2 extra tiers to your intellect. So if you're running a 2-5-5 split focused on discipline and strength, your effective stat split is 4-5-5. Bubbles are all around great for defending choke points, defending a capture point, grabbing a teammate's revive, or being a general pain in the ass. So keep that in mind. They also make a lot of orbs.
On the pain in the ass note, I've actually found my favorite spot to put a bubble is not on a control point or a capture point. I love to put them right out in the middle of an open spot in the map on a heavy round and just watch all the rockets bounce off. It is incredibly satisfying.
Or completely screw things up and put it directly in front of your teammate and watch them blow themselves up. Because I have done that once or twice. The first time on accident, but then the second time to see if I could do it again. And it was pretty funny. I wouldn't actually recommend that. Yeah.
I'm having flashbacks to the Vault of Glass.
Yeah.
Funnier there than in the raid, I'll tell you that for sure.
All right. So for the Defender Titan, I'm going to go through the top 3 exotics. It's going to be absolutely no surprise that number 1 is the no backup plans. Really, they're the only exotic that you should be using on Defender Titan. These allow you to proc, which means process, which means activate, your force barrier on shotgun kills, turning your Defender Titan into a skating machine of death. With that in mind when you're choosing it, the next 2 really are irrelevant. But number 2 is the Crest of Alpha Lupi, because you can now pop your bubble and make 3 orbs instead of 2, which on a fresh bubble, without picking up orbs to increase your own super, is nearly half of a super bar. And then in third place, we've got the Helm of Saint 14, just because nobody sees it coming. Even when you've got that big old crest on the top of your head, nobody sees it coming. And then they don't see anything else coming once they walk inside the bubble.
So I would just add to that, prior to really learning the joy of no backup plans, my go-to on the Titan was always the Armamentarium for the extra grenade, the extra special ammo, or the extra heavy if I was in that kind of a mood. But I guess I always found that to be the most reliably useful choice. What would your feeling be on that one?
The Armamentarium is pretty useful. On the Defender, though, I really only pull it out for something like Mayhem modes, where you're going to need to suppress a super pretty much at every turn. Otherwise, suppression grenades, the other team really gets used to them after a while. They know that they can dodge it, they know they need to run away if they get caught by it. It's best to keep your suppression grenades for need-to-use situations, and the Armamentarium doesn't really encourage that. The extra special and heavy is nice, but I think the benefits from your other exotic choices, you know, making more orbs, blinding people entering the bubble, and that incredibly powerful force barrier really do take precedence over the Armamentarium.
And then I have to, of course, ask, because I know people are going to ask this on Twitter, in comments, what about the Twilight Garrison? I assume you're gonna name that for some of the other classes. Does it fit into the Defender playstyle?
The Twilight Garrison is interesting with the Defender. If you could equip 2 exotics, it would be a must-have. Being able to skate across the map with no backup plans on a Twilight Garrison skate with a shotgun would be unfair. But without the no backup plans, that Twilight Garrison skating, while really incredible for your movement, doesn't mesh well with the Defender class. If you want to take your Defender and snipe with it, which I don't recommend, I think the Defender is the shotgun class in the game. You know, we see that with the no backup plans. If you want to take it and snipe with it, if you want to use a fusion, if you want to use all that stuff, then Twilight Garrison is a good choice. I just think that you are hamstringing yourself by not shotgunning with it.
Fair.
It really is so powerful for shotgunning.
That's fair.
Yeah, and I used to be a sniper with Defender, but it used to be because the 1,000-yard stair class could body shot with Weapons of Light. And I didn't run that in competitive game modes because you can only do that once before they all know it's going to happen and your entire advantage is gone. But now they made it to where, with the 1,000-yard stair archetype not being as powerful, you can't body shot with just plain Weapons of Light anymore. I think you need to use Illuminate now, which kind of killed it for me. So I switched over to the no backup plan shoddy. Me personally, I use Lord of Wolves with it because it's the most hilarious thing ever to kill someone with it. But if you actually have like a God rolled Matador or something, it is incredibly dominant, just the way he's been describing.
We've gone through the Defender subclass. I'm going to go ahead and move on to Striker. For your stat split on a Striker, I'm going to recommend Intellect Discipline, no exceptions, because there's just no reason to run anything else. You have one of the top supers and one of the top grenade choices, period, in the game available on this subclass with an overall decent but weak in comparison melee. For your perk choices, lightning grenades. Flashbangs are cool. Lightning grenades. Lightning grenades are the bane of my existence. You can stick them on a wall. You can stick them on a floor. You can stick them on a ceiling. They're going to hit somebody through cover. Across the map, outside of the visible cone, whatever. Lightning grenades have great reach. They have a great cone. And just so you're aware, where you see the lightning isn't where the damage is occurring. It's occurring in a cone all around that lightning. So you can, your character's model can be standing and the lightning not touching it. You're still going to take damage from that grenade. Two pulses from a lightning grenade will kill you. Will kill any guardian that is not in their super. So, very, very powerful grenades. For your super, man, there's a lot of choices. All three choices are very nice. You have Aftermath, which leaves basically an aftershock effect, where the ground pulses like a pulse grenade and does enough damage to kill, I believe, in two hits on a full health guardian. You have Death from Above, which lets you jump in the air and aim your Fist of Panic Havoc at a spot on the ground within a pretty decent range, allowing you to traverse just a massive distance before actually impacting and killing whoever was unfortunate enough to be at ground zero of your super. And you have Shockwave, which is my recommendation for indoor maps. Shockwave basically turns your Fist of Havoc into a ground-based golden gun that travels ahead of you for four or five pulses and kills anything that gets caught in the way, including bubbles, supers, etc., etc. So, really, your super perk depends on the map you're playing. If you're playing an outdoor map with lots of open space, I would recommend Death from Above. If you're playing an indoor map with lots of corridors, I'd go with Shockwave, because you can pop your super at the beginning of a corridor and it will reach all the way down to the end and kill anybody in the path. Your shockwave will not stop just because it killed somebody. It's going to keep going. It's just going to roll over him and get whoever's next in line. Aftermath is great for a choke point heavy map. If you pop it on a choke point, your opponent either has to go all the way around the map to get to where they wanted to be in the first place, or they've got to run through it and eat the damage and hope that they can make it out before the second pulse occurs. For your melee, really, it's your choice. I do believe one of the melees increases your super recharge on a kill, though, so that's always nice. One of them deals damage in an area of effect around your melee contact point, so you'll be able to damage people around your original target. And one of them increases the cooldown speed of your melee in general, like Fast Switch for a Blade Dancer.
So I just wanted to jump back real quick to the supers, because I used to use Aftermath almost exclusively, just because it does last so long. But I've really found that the range on Shockwave, like you said, is just incredible. And you can get, with that smash, you get all kinds of kills that you wouldn't expect to get around corners and through obstacles. And I've just found that to be, for me, surprisingly powerful. The one thing I wanted to say about Death from Above is that it is, for a non-Titan main, for a Hunter main, actually, to be completely accurate, it is actually kind of hard to use. It just occurred to me, though, Death from Above main cannons, have you done it, and how hilarious is it if you have?
I have used Death from Above on the man cannons. You're talking about the map Crossroads. I've got a 50% success rate. One time I did it and went straight down. The other time I managed to cross the map and kill some poor luckless bastard that had no idea it was coming.
It seems like it's the most unexpected choice, either for you or for them.
Yeah, they don't use those the Crossroads map with the man cannons too often in competitive game types, thankfully, because that allows for a whole bunch of shenanigans that I don't think people would enjoy. I remember them saying a while back, they talked about how they pick maps for trials, and they said they try to avoid doors and they try to avoid man cannons are the two things that they don't really want to focus on. But I always look at it as every player running through the man cannons is like a target flying through the air for me to try to hit. It's not easy to hit them, but when you do hit them, I can just imagine the look on their face when they're halfway across this giant chasm and they just get sniped out of nowhere. And I always like to imagine that they don't feel too good about their decision to jump into a man cannon at that point in time.
I mean, I'll just say that every time I jump into a man cannon, I am 100% expecting to get sniped in the face. I am like, well, I don't value my life enough to run to a door, so I'm just going to jump into this man cannon and pray that nobody's playing duck hunt right now, because that's exactly what it is. I've seen some videos recently of people calling it skeet shooting. It makes me think of duck hunt. Just shoo and splat.
You're taking the lazy man's way out. You're like, well, I could go through a portal, but that sounds now too far away through the man cannon.
Yeah, pretty much.
Alrighty, so moving on to the next perk choice. The column between, the middle passive column between your armor recovery agility columns, you have the choice of Headstrong, Aftershocks, or Transfusion. Headstrong increases your sprint speed and your jump distance when using Fist of Havoc. Aftershocks increases the number of pulses on lightning, pulse, grenades, and your Aftermath super. And Transfusion regenerates your health on melee and shoulder charge kills, I believe. My recommendation for this is Headstrong, both for the increased sprint speed and the longer jump distance when you use your Fist of Havoc. Aftershocks only grants one extra pulse. It's beneficial, but not to the degree that Headstrong can be to your gameplay overall. And Transfusion, I don't see Transfusion proccing a lot. I don't see it used a lot. It's a very, very not necessarily under the radar, because that implies it's good but not really used. It's just not great. It's not as good as the other choices. Your final column, you have Unstoppable, which increases your armor in the Fist of Havoc animation. Used to be you would be able to tank a golden gun shot. Now it's not so much anymore. Shoulder charge, which is one of the main choices for strikers. Shoulder charge is nice, although you do sometimes get trapped into using it too often. You go looking for shoulder charge kills instead of letting them come to you, and that is an overall detriment to your game. Along with that, we were just talking about warlocks and how to avoid getting killed by shoulder charge. So you're not looking at a 100% success rate unless you have Peregrine Greaves and you do it from the air. Your final choice in that column is my overall recommendation, which is Juggernaut. This creates a floating shield in front of you that covers your entire front side except for like the very tippy top of your foot while you are sprinting. There is no cooldown on Juggernaut. It is a threshold shield, which means you can get shot by a golden gun while using Juggernaut, and it will only take your shield away. It will not kill you. I mentioned the no cooldown. That means you can stop sprinting, your shield goes away, you start sprinting again, your shield comes back up. This is incredible for shotgunners. Really just allows you to cut through the open space, if there's a small amount of it, between you and a target and get close enough to deliver that killing shot.
So what you're saying is that I need to stop running Memory of Yolder on my Blade Dancer, and I need to switch back over to Striker and get back on the Juggernaut train, which is actually a train. I guess I can't get back on it. I've not been on it so far, which I think is clearly my mistake. Now that we're talking about it.
Yeah, Juggernaut's really good. It's just all I was going to say. It's really good. It's one of my most infuriating things to play against in the Crucible. I've rambled on about it two or three times on here, but I literally just can't stand the shield running straight at me, knowing there's a shotgun behind it.
I see this a lot, which is actually why I've been thinking about it, but I've been running a lot of Blade Dancer recently, and Palindrome Shotgun makes short work of overconfident Juggernauts, I'll tell you that. I've seen it used really successfully by some shotgunners, but if you think you can run straight at me while I've got the Palindrome out, you're going to get shotgunned in the face as soon as you get close, because I'm going to be blinking away, just like you talked about there. All I have to do is get it weak enough, and if you don't pull that trigger first or simultaneously, that shield's not going to stand up. So I guess what I'm saying is it can be beat, but it's scary. I never know if I'm going to win that fight. So.
Yeah, Juggernaut definitely isn't a shield that you need to be running around the map with. But if you've got, say you've got, we're going to use heavy ammo as an example. The pickup radius for heavy ammo, if you're within 20 meters of heavy ammo, you will be able to get it. So we're going to use 20 meters as an example. If you're on the outside edge of that heavy circle, and you have no cover between you and that heavy box, and you want to run up and kill somebody that's standing on the heavy box, Juggernaut will be your best friend. You can have Juggernaut active while you're Titan skating. You can't do it with the Twilight Garrison skate, which is a blessing for everybody except the Strikers, but you can do it with a regular Titan skate. So you can fly through the air with that invincible shield in front of you to close those gaps that normally you would get shot down if you tried to close them with your special out. So, all in all, Juggernaut is one of the strongest perks for a Striker Titan. Now, going to move on to the exotics for the Striker Titan. In first place, hands down, is the Armamentarium. This allows you to have two of the strongest grenades in the game with lightning grenades. Really, it is just miserable to play against. I hate playing against a team that has more than one Striker with Armamentarium. Because you can herd the other team with these things. You can channel them exactly where you want them by covering every other access route with a lightning grenade. So, hands down, top choice, Armamentarium. Second place goes to the Twilight Garrison for the incredible movement speed offered by it. It is very important for Strikers to cross the map quickly. Out of all the Titans, they have some of the best close range options in the game between their melee, shoulder charge, Juggernaut, etc., and they're super. So it is very, very advantageous for a Striker to have a higher speed skate than the rest of the other Titans. In third place, it's a toss-up. I'm going to choose to recommend the Helm of Inmost Light. This grants Death from Above and Headstrong. Headstrong is nice, but Death from Above is the real kicker here. You can now have Death from Above and Aftermath, or Death from Above and Shockwave. It's brutal. Death from Above and Shockwave on the open maps can net you 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 kills on a super that would normally only net you maybe 1 or 2.
Yeah, I'll just say I feel like I've been seeing Death from Above a lot more, because I've been seeing a lot of those strikes where I think there's no way they can get to me. I'm trying to circle around the Striker because I know they're ready to smash, and then all of a sudden, zoom, they just shoot straight down at an impossible angle, and my face is smashed.
It should be noted that it does have a bit of a learning curve, though. Death from Above isn't just something you pick up, and it is instinctive like a normal Titan smash is. It kind of takes some getting used to. It doesn't have exactly the easiest aiming process to go along with it, just because I know a lot of people picked it up right when the beginning of the game came out and were like, oh, this is going to be great. It'll be able to Superman down to the ground. It's like, well, yeah, but you still have to control it too. It's not just automatic. Like, you press a button and everything around you dies. So just be aware of that.
Yeah, fair point. The learning curve is probably why I don't mess with it, why I just stick with Shockwave, because it's My order of play is Hunter, Warlock, Titan, so I have not been able to pick it up.
We're going to jump down to the Sunbreaker Titan. This is probably my least used class, but we're going to get into some detail on it. I recommend Intellect Discipline splits. Sunbreaker has better grenades than it has melee, and better super than it has grenades. So, to start out, perk choices, you have a choice between fusion and incendiary grenades. The thermite grenades are awful for PvP. Fusion grenades, as you know, I call trade nades, because a good chunk of the time, if you kill somebody with a fusion, they probably killed you first. Incendiary grenades are excellent. They're similar to the suppression grenades for Defender Titans, except they cause your target to burn, and they can do a little bit more damage on the explosion, I believe. Actually, no, I'm wrong. They do the same amount of damage on the explosion, but that burn is enough to kill a good chunk of your opponents. Moving on to the super. My recommendation for the super is not Forge Master. My recommendation is Sun Charge. Sun Charge is highly, highly powerful. It is the most surefire way, aside from a Fist of Havoc or a Nova Bomb, to take out a bubble. And not only to take out a bubble, but to take out the Titan inside of it. Even if your Titan has Armor of Light, a Sun Charge will one-shot you. It does, I mean, it's shoulder charge on steroids, which is why it's an option for your super and not an option for any other column. So keep that in mind. Sun Charge will wreck face. Moving on to the melee, that is a toss-up. It's up to you. I don't have any preference on the melees. I can't really pick one out that's better than the others. And then in the passive column, again, between the agility, armor, and recovery columns, I recommend having the tracking hammers. It's always nice to, you know, maybe kind of miss a throw, but that little extra bit of tracking takes it in and finishes the job for you. And then on the final column, I recommend cauterize for regeneration of health on ability kills. Similar to lifesteal, except that you have to get a kill. It is very, very useful.
Just want to throw one thing in there. This is something that I overlooked initially until one of my Titan main friends pointed it out to me. But if you do decide to go with Sun Charge, you do not want to choose Explosive Pyre, most likely. Yes, it does still give you that chaining damage on your hammer throws, but if you're Sun Charging, you're probably Sun Charging. And that ability actually already includes causing your enemies to explode and chaining that fiery damage. So you're not gaining anything by combining it with Explosive Pyre. You're just, you know, wasting a perk. Which is where, you know, being able to choose Flameseeker as a decent alternative is handy.
Yeah, and as far as melees go, I'm a pretty big fan of Melting Point, just because you punch someone and it doesn't always necessarily help so much, because usually if you're punching someone, you've already closed the distance, right, to take down someone. But just because you punch someone doesn't mean you always get the kill. And what Melting Point does is it leaves them burning, and not only does it leave them burning, which can sometimes finish them off for you, but it also makes them weaker for your allies in case they shoot them. So it's more likely you're going to get an assist, it's more likely your teammate's going to get a cleanup, and it's more likely, even if you die, that you're going to take them with you. It's kind of like a desperation perk, but I've just found that I've grabbed a decent amount of kills with it. So,
and if I recall correctly, Melting Point, by what you mean by making them weaker, is that they will take more damage from all sources. Similar to a tether, I believe Melting Point is 35% extra damage. I don't know if that translates to Crucible, but I do recall extra damage occurring from that.
So, Melting Point, and this could have, I could have lost track of this. I didn't track the Titan changes all that closely as the year progressed, but it was originally a 50% damage bonus, not stacking with tether. You know, it's basically kind of a one of those situations where Tether and Melting Point both apply vulnerability effects to whoever they hit, so you get whichever one was most recently applied, so they would cancel each other out. But then it does stack with Weapons of Light, and of course the one nice thing about the Sunseeker grenade change is that that damage bonus you get from those grenades stacks with everything. But that's, I guess that's my two cents on that. That's about all I have to say.
Alrighty, so we're going to move on to exotics for the Sunbreaker. In first place is the Twilight Garrison, especially with the super for a Sunbreaker. Mobility is... it's great. It's great to have that extra mobility, especially if you're using Sun Charge and you want to close the gap so that you can take somebody out. Second place goes to the Armamentarium, because having two of your grenade of choice is, again, always a welcome benefit. And third place I'd go, really toss up. You could use the crest, you could use the insurmountable skull fort to have two melees, although that's not too great. The exclusive for Sunbreakers is Immolation Fist, which grant explosive pyre. Again, not a big deal. So the first two are the big choices for Sunbreaker. My third slot, really, you've got a dozen, well, not quite, but you've got several exotics that you could choose to run with.